Earlier this week, the Edmonton Eskimos had their annual Board of Governors meeting, the annual report financially, and also announced that President and CEO Len Rhodes has a new five-year contract. He joins me in studio. Len, congratulations. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, Jason. Thanks for the nice comments.
Five-year deal. Wow, you didn't get voted out, so that's good.
Yeah, a lot of change in this province. One thing you can always count on is the stability at the Eskimos to counterbalance everything else going on around us these days.
Yeah, it's definitely a historic time in our province, for sure. I guess let's start with the financials from the team. You guys boast a $3.6 million profit. I know some of that goes into the stabilization fund for a rainy day down the road, which you guys are always keeping on board and investing in stuff. And then this year, you're putting how much are you putting back into some projects?
We've earmarked approximately $3 million related to capital infrastructure projects.
Okay.
So there's a number of things going on, and that's the beauty about being with the Eskimos. Reporting to the board of directors, unlike most companies that are for profits, the board says it's about sustainability, making sure we reinvest back in the club, and that's exactly what we do. So when we may have years where we make money, the beauty is we can put it right back into the club, back into the community.
Now, can you tell us specifically what the $3 million is going for?
Yeah, there's going to be a major investment that we'll be announcing on Fan Day. So we'll talk about Fan Day later, but we'll be in Spruce Grove on June 6th, and we'll be having a joint announcement with TELUS, and that relates to a capital infrastructure upgrade. Other projects include we're going to have a new stats board, Jason, on the south end wall of the stadium. So that the avid fans that look for the basic stats, we really don't have room because we have that one video board and it's nice. Now we've upgraded it, but we need room for basic stats during the football game. So that's an additional piece that's going on the south end. Within the concourses, we're also going to upgrade all the menu boards. Literally, they look like they're from a few decades past, and because they are. So they're going to be upgraded all digitally. And we're also installing new digital ticket signage outside at gates 6 and 13.
So the digital, what is the ticket sign? Is that telling you how many tickets are available or what?
So the ticket signs actually outside of the stadium is that basically at the ticket wickets. Used to be an old Coroplast. We put two new signs last year that were digital. They look awesome, so we're adding two more. But I think the exciting part is the stats board in the stadium where the fans can look at all the...
Yeah, so it's kind of like what they have in Calgary a little bit where you've got an ongoing, okay, first down, yardage, everything like that.
Yeah, and going on the road, literally for every road game, I get to see all what the other stadiums are doing, you know, in all the other cities. And you look at best practices, and there's... When you look at Commonwealth Stadium compared to even the newer stadiums, we've got a darn good stadium. But there are a few tweaks and upgrades. And I think when you're in bowl, you've seen the upgrades over the years that look pretty spectacular. I know when Warren Moon came this past year for the induction ceremonies on the Wall of Honor, he was in my office and he looked down the field. He hadn't been in the stadium for a few years. He said it looks incredibly upgraded. But when you're in the concourses, there's things that we have to continue to do. And that's what we're doing this year as well.
What's the to turn a $3.6 million profit? You know, because people always look at, you know, ticket sales and everything. Are ticket sales is still probably the one thing obviously you'd want to improve on. What did the organization do well to turn that big of a profit?
Well, it starts with football operations doing their things extremely well. With Ed Hervey at the helm on the football operations side and putting the right talent in the right place, and one of his best moves was going to get Chris Jones. Chris Jones comes in and then executes with the players that he has and the talent that's being provided. It starts there. Literally, when we were we showed the community and the city and our fans that we're the real thing again. We're a contender on the field, and we're going to be vying for a win at every opportunity that we have. When we started putting the victories together last year, we started seeing the reaction from the fans. The walk-ups were starting to get pretty strong. And as a gate-driven league, literally our number one revenue source, unlike most other sports, Jason, CFL is about people who buy tickets. We depend on our fans coming to the games and buying tickets. That's where the walk-ups made the difference. And in terms of revenue on ticket sales this year, we had a record year. And all throughout our history, we've never had more ticket sales revenue than we did this year. Sponsorship, the corporate side is stepping up. We broke a record on corporate revenue as well in terms of the sponsorships. And thirdly, merchandise. And that's always a great sign. That means fans are wearing our caps and our jerseys because they're proud to be linked to the Edmonton Eskimos once again.
Do you guys track which jerseys is the most popular?
Those you could pretty well guess in
Riley.
Terms of the Riley's right up there. Darius Bowman is right up there. We've got the beauty about it is last year we brought in-house cresting, so a fan can come in. You can have Gregor on your jersey, or you could have Bowman on your jersey. We'll give you what you want, and that's been very, very popular. We do it right in our retail store. We've got a machine going, and when there's a game on, we have the second unit actually cresting the jerseys. So it's been very, very successful, but it goes hand in hand with winning games. Nothing matches the formula in sports, winning games. Now, we can't guarantee we're going to win every game, but I can tell you from what you've seen this past year, we're starting to be taken very seriously, and the test going into 15 will be beating Calgary.
You've talked about that, you know, if you have a competitive product, obviously it makes everything else a little bit easier. And, you know, and the business side is one thing. Football operations is separate. You re-signed Ed Hervey to a 3-year contract extension and just getting some stability on that side. You talk about how the walk-ups were better, but did that stability help you acquire corporate sponsorship as well?
Yeah, you know, you can gauge it. When the fans feel good about the team, everyone around, because people in business are fans, and fans that work for companies or own companies or manage companies, everyone gets excited. In terms of the stability, first you got to find the right people and then put them in the right position so that they can be successful. And when they're successful, the team is successful. The biggest part, of course, when you're in sports is what's going on with the product. People pay to come watch a team play. Ed Hervey deserves loads of credit. It starts with the fact that he played here. Secondly, as a head scout. And then thirdly, I'd say his commitment to the community. Ed has always stayed here, and that was a prerequisite for anyone that's going to take that role. You've got to be here. You can't be here because you're forced to be here. You've got to want to be here, and that reflects so well in terms of everything Ed's all about. Now, Ed, in the few years now in his role, and now with the extension that I granted to him for 3 years, I also gave him the promotion to Vice President of Football Operations. And a few people have asked me, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that we gave him a title just to have a fancy title. Ed is more than your typical general manager. The fact that when Ed took the role as general manager, he is literally in weekly meetings with senior management. He wants to know what's going on in the business side. He's sharing what's going on the football side so that as a unit, senior management team are making decisions that they know can impact the other side, and we've got that fully integrated. Symbolic? No, he came on the floor as well. He asked that his office be on the same floor where I'm located. Because there was a separation. Years ago when I entered the club, it made no sense. Football was pointing at business. Business was pointing at football. It was like there were two separate operations going on. We're united, and we're joined at the hip in terms of the philosophy for this club, knowing that it's on-field performance first, but our dedication to this community. We are walking the talk. Jason, last year, proud to announce yesterday, we did literally 855 community appearances in Edmonton this past year. That's our players, our coaches, our staff. That's a record for the club. Sometimes I meet people that say, you guys used to be in the community a lot. We used to be for sure, and we're proud about that. But no one has been in the community more than our team this past year. The facts speak for themselves.
Len Rhodes, President and CEO of the Edmonton Eskimos, joined us. Also, I'm guessing you'll be back, though, for Monday Magic, because I was not a fan of and plus you lost, so it didn't. I think karma maybe was part of it. So you guys will be back this year on Monday?
Yeah, last year, let's look at the facts, though. The team had a game on a Thursday that week last year. And, you know, people, again, hold us accountable to winning games. And when you look back a year ago, they said you better put a good team on the field. So when the new head coach comes in, his first focus has to be on getting the guys to play on the field. We're all dedicated to Monday Morning Magic. Oh, we're going to 855 events. We know one that's extremely important is Monday Morning Magic. This year, our schedule is such that we do not have a game on a Thursday. We will be back. Ed wants to be back. Chris Jones wants to be back. Our players want to be back. Our staff want to be back. We're going to be there.
From, a business standpoint across the league now, it's still a gate-driven league, of course. TV numbers have consistently gone up across, and some people say with the TV numbers going up that that's having some people sit at home now because they're like, well, hey, I can watch it at home. It's great success to have that. How do you need to do different promotions then to ensure that you're going to get the people who, yeah, we want you to watch the games on TV, but we'd still rather come? How do you balance that to ensure they're going to come?
First, I think the easy excuse that some teams use is that we have less fans in the stadium because of the great TV production that TSN actually does on TV. That's an excuse. There's nothing that matches being amongst 40,000 people at Commonwealth Stadium. Nothing matches that live experience. So if we get them in the stadium and we deliver a great entertainment value for their dollar, then we know we're in good shape. Last year, we had Bannister Research conduct research for us, and the fans are saying that they're enjoying the experience within the stadium. And that starts with what's going on the field, but it's also about the details. We hired the Disney Institute last year because it's about customer service. As a gate-driven league, we want our fans to go from buying a single game ticket to graduating and buying season seats, because quite frankly, we need the community to buy season seats. I'm so proud that we were one of the few teams that grew our attendance last year. In regular season's attendance went up by 4.3% versus the previous year, but it's not enough. I feel good when there's 40,000 people in at any game. When there's less than 40, you know that we're not reaching our potential. So the onus was on us. Put a good product on the field. People came in droves last year. We know we can grow that, but we've got to deliver good customer service when they're in the stadium.
Will you? Is there anything different to attract new fans this year that you guys are putting in place?
Well, it's a series of a lot of different things that we do. There's no one single thing that's going to be dramatic in scope, but there's a number of exciting initiatives. First, we're extending the Eskimo brand up north, right? It started with a problem with FIFA. Which I was not happy about when the city approached me 2 years ago, to be honest with you, about the fact that you won't have a home in Commonwealth Stadium. First time since 1978, the Eskimos were displaced. Where do we go? I don't see five stadiums in Edmonton. We were very lucky. Sometimes you got to be lucky. Someone had informed me a year earlier that there was a stadium being built in Fort McMurray. So when this issue occurred, we called Fort McMurray. Within 2 weeks, they were in our offices, and a week or two later, we had a deal put together. What's great about that now, when I look back, because it was pretty stressful 2 years ago, it allows us now to bring the Eskimo brand up north, because we own northern Alberta. That means we should get out of our direct location at Commonwealth Stadium and spread the brand. So we're going to do that in Fort McMurray. And the training camp this year, we're going to Spruce Grove for the same reasons. We can't use the stadium for training camp. I have a great relationship with Mayor Stuart Houston in Spruce Grove because we usually go there once a year. Well, this year we're having a full training camp. And in return, because it's about community and giving back, we've committed to having the team stay right in Spruce Grove for all of the training camp. They're going to be located in a hotel there, which is adjacent to the field, so everyone wins. When the city, like Spruce Grove, steps up for us, we're going to give back to the economy over there. That's what community-owned teams do.
I recall the last time, and you're out at the barracks, was 2001, if my memory serves me correct. And that was, I remember it vividly because it was the first year I was covering the Eskimos. And as a rookie reporter, that's when they fired Don Matthews, a right in training camp. Uh-huh. And I was like, oh, wow, this is how it works. Okay. So something tells me with Ed Hervey having a new contract, you having a new deal, and Chris Jones coming off the season he had, there likely won't be any firings during training camp.
Yeah, it's always sports. You know, we're only as good as the last minute of whatever we've done, and who knows when we wake up tomorrow. But if things go according to plan, and does life ever go according to plan, there's great stability. It's great people in place. And again, with Ed's renewal, now Chris Jones no longer being a rookie going into year two, but what he brought was alignment. You know, his coaching staff and the players have responded so well. They're attentive to detail. You saw the pace, quicker pace right from the start last year.
Practices are completely different.
You saw it right from the first day that he started to practice, and the players responded so well to it. Once game time, feels like things are slowed down a bit. So that's the beauty and the stability there. And throughout the whole organization, we'll always continue to hold ourselves accountable to trying to have the highest standards. But when you have the right people, then it's stability brings something that we haven't had for too long. And that's why some of the other teams had an advantage over the Edmonton Eskimos.
CEO and president of the Eskimos, Len Rhodes, joins us. Five-year contract extension signed yesterday. Also announced at the annual GM meeting that AGM, I guess that is, $3.6 million profit. $3 million of that's going to go back into capitalization to build some things around the stadium. And then one other big announcement coming up in June. Every year, fans are always curious about you know, new things going on from food activities to different things like that. How much say, if any, do you have on the menu?
Oh, well, Western Foods is our supplier, and they're a great partner. They've been with the Eskimos for forever, but things change, trends change, tastes change, and fans give us feedback all the time. So Western Foods is actually reviewing their menu as we speak, and they're going to be making some changes to the menu. There's some basic staples that everyone wants to always have, but there's things that they're going to try, and they're going to be presenting us with something in a few weeks. So, yeah, you can count on the new menu items coming, and that's always exciting.
We have a lot of season ticket holders texting in wondering if when you sent out the survey, and how closely do you guys monitor that? Guy's been saying he's been complaining about the same thing for 3 years as far as in-game entertainment.
Oh.
Would you need one complaint or do you need multiple before you look at something? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a good question. We do look at the research results very closely because we wouldn't want to spend money just to hear people talk and then it doesn't go anywhere. What happens though, however, is there's some points that some people have or don't share, and you can, let's talk about music. 50% may say, I want the sound louder, and 50% will say it's too loud. How do you make everyone happy? So that's just an example in terms of not being able to address everyone's wishes with one program. But we absolutely listen to everyone all the time. The feedback is useful. But if someone has one piece of feedback that doesn't reflect what others are saying, then yes, we can't promise that we're going to do everything that doesn't address the overall wishes.
I know last year, I remember a lot of people wondering, I think you had the family day event.
Yes.
And you know, they felt like, well, there wasn't more family activities. Is that something you guys will look at having outside the facility this time?
Yeah, so last year we actually did introduce a new family zone, and that has proven to be very popular. So we're going to continue with that because our dedication and commitment to having families with children so that we continue the great tradition of the Eskimos. We want you to come with your parents. We want you to come with your grandparents. So let's keep that tradition alive. And that's how memories are made. This year, we have something quite exciting that we're going to be announcing on May 20th alongside with Northlands. We're going to be introducing for the Labor Day rematch. There's going to be an event at Northlands. Our season seat holders, our game day ticket holders will be able to go park at Northlands, and we're going to have a park and party event. And once that's done in the afternoon, you can jump on the LRT and leave your car there, because if you have your game day ticket, we have a ticket to ride program.
So it's
you,
free.
You ride for free. Come to the game, go back by LRT, or just walk back up to Northlands and away you go. So we're going to give more details on that on May 20th. But that's listening to the feedback of the fans saying we'd like to see more, especially before the games. Fans don't really like to stick around after the games. Yeah. They've proven that they want to go home at that point, and that's okay. We're listening to them, and we're going to act accordingly.
Because a few years ago, there used to be some parties kind of on the field at Clark Park.
Yes, we tried. Well, actually, in the field house, we had some post games, and it proved that people showed that that's not what resonated well. So we're not going to continue doing things that people don't want to do.
Would you do it in the field house pregame?
The cost of conversion to the field house is extremely expensive. It would literally cost $20,000. But also, the field house, first and foremost, is allocated towards amateur sports.
Okay, so usually before the game, they're busy. Yeah. And after game, they weren't?
That's right.
Now, what about Clark Park? Because they used to have some pregame parties there, remember? Now, you know, it wasn't a major thing. But some people do like this, as you said. They'd rather say, okay, you know what, I'm committing my time before the game rather than maybe I'm tired after the game.
Yeah, the traffic flow, 80% of our fans come in through the LRT, so the northeast corner of the stadium. And Clark is just out of the way enough that people don't want to walk out that far. So we've put more on the street level, right where the people are coming. And now with the Northlands component, where we get into those details on May 20th, that's going to be an exciting initiative. And based on fan feedback, we may do more than just a one-game event there as well.
The schedule this year obviously is a little bit different with the FIFA. There was a lot of talk, though, that you know, there's some rumors out there about FIFA that they were talking about. They wanted to build another dressing room on the north end of the stadium, and that got kiboshed. Any truth to that? What happened?
Well, there's a lot of requests. I think when a tournament like FIFA comes in, they have a long list of asks, and then you look at the reality and you say, well, first, who's the primary tenant? We pay rent. We don't own the stadium. The Edmonton Eskimos are the primary tenant at Commonwealth Stadium, and we pay significant rent. We're proud to do that because it goes back to the city of Edmonton, so it's the right thing to do. But at the same time, we're not going to disrupt things that occur within our own, it's our home. So they'll be using the visitors' locker rooms. They won't have access to our home locker room, but with the addition last year of some additional locker rooms, they're going to be fine.
But was there ever serious conversations about revamping the north end? Was that ever close to reality, or is it just kind of a pie in the sky?
We have some concepts down the road that in an ideal world, 5-10 years from now, could we do something in a major way in the north end? Absolutely. So where the advertising tarps mm-hmm. are currently, could we do something? We've worked with some designers, but no, it was never in the cards for FIFA.
I know a lot of longtime Eskimo fans always wonder we used to joke it was the biggest bar in Edmonton. It used to be in the north end zone, right? You had the bar and everybody would stand up there. And now I know the fire marshal decided one year that obviously it was too dangerous. There had always been talk that because you have the doors on each side when you come down the ramp that open up outside to build an out place there. And as long as there was a walkway there, you could reopen it. Has that ever been discussed seriously?
Well, the first part of your comment, you're absolutely right. It was a hazard issue and everything's great until something occurs that's bad. And then everyone says, how come you didn't take safety precautions? First and foremost, safety is our concern. It's a family environment. When you have 40,000 people plus in a stadium, you've got to be very, very cautious. In terms of what you've described, we'd like to see the pods fill up. There's still ample room. And what we did last year is we reopened the quarterback club and the Jackie Parker room, and people now have options for a buffet service, drinks. So there's a lot going on there. And actually, it was year two last year. People have come back and the response has been good. So we'd like to keep generating activity where the people are.
Len Rhodes, CEO and president of the Eskimos, joins us. Len, across the league, one complaint fans are always like, I want more player promotion, shall they say, get to know the players more. Not like obviously you do a lot of the community stuff, right?
Yes.
But has the league talked about that? Is there going to be an onus? Because a lot of fans feel like if they can connect with a player, then they're more likely to go. I have no idea if that's true or not, but is that something that the league as a whole is looked at? And is the Players Association open to that?
Oh, the Players Association is absolutely open to that because it's in everyone's best interest to promote our product, which is our players. The onus is on the team. You know, when Odell Willis is meeting fans in our retail store and signing autographs like he did 3 weeks ago with Adarius Bowman, that is how you develop the fan identity with the players. Because it is a challenge when you're in full uniform on the field mm-hmm. without the jersey, when the player's on the street, you don't always recognize them. But in our campaigns as well, the marketing department is also promoting, always showing a group of players and not very often without their helmets on so that they are recognizable. So that's what we're doing. The league as well has recognized that there's something in star power. But when you have stars like a Mike Riley coming to the Eskimos, it shows the potential of really the fans connecting with the individual and not just with the jersey they're wearing on the field.
Younger fans and gamers always ask a video game. Is it ever going to, do you think, be a possibility in the CFL?
That's in the cards. That's wearing my governor's hat when I'm at the CFL Board of Governors table. That's definitely points of discussion, and that is sitting in the area of the league right now. But we've asked them to look at that because as we want younger fans in the stadium and getting to be close to in terms of the stats and the pools or the video games, that's really important for the younger fans to connect in a closer way. So that's very, very important from a strategic aspect, but it's in the league's hands.
I know you were one big proponent of wanting to move the season to start a little bit earlier. Overall, how was it received? Is it something like, what would be the ideal start date for you in your eyes?
At least 2 weeks earlier and maybe three. And it's not about my personal opinion just because I happen to personally want it 2 or 3 weeks earlier. The numbers speak for themselves. Jason, there are less people in the stadium in the playoffs than during our own regular season, and that makes absolutely no sense. That doesn't happen anywhere. There's only one factor driving that, and it's called weather. Mm-hmm. And in open-roof stadiums like Commonwealth Stadium, we are being negatively impacted. The fans have responded extremely well to our proposal. We've brought it to the league level. I'm somewhat frustrated sometimes that these things don't move fast enough. But we put our own survey on esks.com approximately a month ago, and over 2,000 people responded. 92% wanted at least 2 or 3 weeks earlier.
Okay.
So it's reflecting the fans' wishes. I'm pushing it, but there's a lot of obstacles still in place with various partners. But the league certainly knows where the Eskimos stand on this one.
What's the biggest obstacle?
Well, there's TV timing in terms of scheduling conflicts. So with our TV partner, TSN has a role to play in that. The Players Association has to sign off on that. So there's a lot of history and tradition of people saying, well, it's always been that way. Why do we need to change it? So by sharing the numbers and the facts, that's the mandate I have right now. And I've been working with the league, showing them how the numbers speak for themselves in terms of when there's less people in the stadium. It doesn't look good on TV. You know, even our TV partner, TSN, would even say, we want to have a broadcast when the stadium is full because there's nothing more appealing. People draw people, and that's the best thing you can do to sell your game.
One final one. You talked about how a lot, the majority of the fans come from the LRT side on the east side of the stadium. Is it, has there any been discussions with the city? Could you block that road off from the LRT to the, because I know there's the police there right on the corner of 111th. Could you block it off and have like an open party right there? Is that a remote possibility?
Well, and it depends what your term of party is, because then if there's alcohol, we've got to be sectioned off. So we've done that with the Coors Light section. But in terms of doing more, there are safety issues and things that sometimes I don't even have an appreciation for in terms of traffic and what goes on. Because if you ask me, I'd love to do everything. I'd love to shut the city down and just make it one big party in Edmonton and let everyone else worry about the details. But I've got to be responsible. But I'm really confident that what we're going to be doing in Northlands is really going to be a nice, appealing aspect for a fan, something that hasn't been tried. And let's give it a try and see how people respond. And if people like it, we're going to be doing it a lot more often.
Lastly, Len, 5-year contract. What's your goal that you would like, with the main goal, like outside of winning, because obviously everybody wants to win. As an organization, growing your team, what do you want to accomplish in 5 years?
There are 3 points. First, being an on-field contender, not only this year, but in the long term, so that Eskimo football is back. Second, it's our game day experience and a lot of things that we described today in terms of driving that. And third, it's our engagement with our community. And we spoke about our 855 visits, but amateur football sits in there as well. Our 50-50 program, we are the envy of the league. When I'm at the governor's table in the CFL, sometimes they think I'm not explaining myself well because they think the numbers I'm giving them are exaggerated. No, $715,000 towards amateur football so that we continue to keep the young prospects right here in our own backyard. We were literally getting scooped. Ed Hervey has put a summit together now 3 years in a row, getting all the stakeholders together, talking about how do we approach this from a football standpoint. And in terms of generating the revenue that we're using for 50-50 and giving back 100% to all those stakeholders, that's what's going to keep the best kids right here. The U of A, the scholarship program, $250,000 over 5 years so that we keep the best kids at the U of A and we're not losing them to other universities. You don't want to have the young kids leave because then that connection with their community is gone. And as a community-owned team, the ideal world, they're signing up for our Novice Flag Football League, 5 to 8 years old, playing touch football. They play high school football, junior or U of A, and then they're drafted by the Eskimos. They join the alumni. They retire here. That's a full circle success factor.
Len, congratulations on the new contract. Happy to hear you're back at Monday Magic, because I know me and Coach Jones got into it last year. I was not a big fan of that and expressed it many times. So it's good to hear that you guys will be back at Monday Magic. And congrats on the new deal, and we'll talk to you again soon.
I want to thank you before I leave. What you did yesterday to support the Eskimo Women's Dinner, which is taking place tomorrow night. Jason, I listen to you all the time. What you do in the community is second to none. And I thank you from the bottom of the heart. What you're doing is helping fight ovarian cancer through research, and that single step goes a long way, and you've got momentum going for us. We're going into an evening tomorrow that's going to be very exciting for a great cause, and as a community, you show things through your actions, and I thank you.
Oh, thanks for that, Len. I really appreciate it.